An exoneration is a case in which a person was convicted of a crime, not just charged, but convicted and usually sentenced to prison, and then later on completely cleared of the legal consequences of that conviction by a government agency that has the authority to do that. And that only applies in cases in which the action that removed all the consequences of the conviction was based to a substantial extent on new evidence of innocence that was not available at the time of the original conviction.
Now, when people hear about exonerations, they might think of exonerations based on DNA evidence. I think that gets a lot of press. But what I learned from your report is that DNA evidence is not nearly the biggest contributor to exonerations.
That's right. It's always been a factor in a minority of exonerations. And in the past 10 years, the number of DNA exonerations has been slowly decreasing. At the same time, the number of exonerations that don't involve DNA has increased rapidly. It's pretty much doubled in the last 10 years.
I also saw that 17% of the exonerations were in cases where the defendant was convicted after pleading guilty. What's the story behind this statistic? Are we to assume that it was intense police coercion at the onset of the case?
It might be, but probably not. As you probably know, the vast majority of people who were convicted of serious crimes in the United States, about 95% of felony convictions, are based on guilty pleas, almost always plea bargains. And the reason people do this, the reason they agree to a plea bargain rather than go to trial, is that the danger of going to trial if you're a criminal defendant is extreme. The punishment you might get after trial could be twice or five times or 10 times as great as what you're offered in a plea bargain. One likely consequence is that a lot of people who are innocent, quite a few probably decide to, in effect, buy an insurance policy, take a lesser penalty, and plead guilty. And in the past, courts and prosecutors have been much less willing to consider the possibility that anybody who pled guilty would be innocent. That's beginning to change.
Connecticut was one of the top 10 states in exonerations this year with four. What can you tell us about the four cases?
These cases all grew out of a single event, a shooting in New Haven in 1996, in which one man was killed and two others were wounded, and four young men who were believed to be gang members were charged for those shootings and convicted in 1999, and then exonerated this year in 2013.
What was the evidence that exonerated them?
What happened is this. One of the two victims had, in the words of the Connecticut appellate court, no credibility. His story kept changing. It was inconsistent with the physical facts of the case. And he admitted on cross-examination that his concept of the truth is, quote, fluid, end quote. The other one, who appeared more credible, denied in his testimony that he had any deal with the prosecution and was getting any benefit for his testimony. It later turned out that that was perjury. In fact, he had various drug and weapon offenses charges pending, for which he could have gotten up to 35 years in prison. Instead, most of the charges were dismissed, and he ended up with a four-year sentence. The defense and the court, of course, were never told about this, and that was the basis for the reversal of the conviction. The Connecticut Appellate Court noted that there was no physical evidence that connected these defendants to the crime. They had alibi testimony that placed them in other places. The witnesses described them as wearing clothing that they apparently weren't wearing at the time, and so forth. So after the charges were reversed, the prosecution dismissed all the charges, and I think correctly. I think there simply was no evidence that was worth paying any attention to that these guys did it. And that's a good illustration of a type of non-DNA case that comes up now.